We kind of go through life a little bit haphazardly, and this is not, so let me make this very clear, this is not because we don't care about our life. It is just the way that our brain sends us signals and tells us that we have to show up in order to get stuff done. Heyo, busy brain, welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. You made it, and I am so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. This episode is called Hacking It with ADHD, and I am your host, Camden Hainsworth. I don't know about you, but a lot of the time in my life with ADHD, I push it to the limit. I try to pack as many things into a specific time as possible. I try to, my husband coined me the one trip wonder. Every time I would bring in the groceries, I would pack as many bags on my fingers, on my arms, underneath my arms, pinned against my ribs, holding as many things just so I wouldn't have to take another trip, because in my brain, taking another trip up and down the stairs to do groceries was the biggest waste of time. There was zero excitement and joy in that idea. And I wasn't going to do it. So I was the one trip wonder. And at some point, I think this was modeled by my mom. I always said that she would rather lose a finger than have to take two trips with the groceries. So if we can relate our life to bringing in the groceries that way, I think it would be very good illustration of what ADHDers feel like. We are trying to be the most efficient, and sometimes in our effort to be efficient, we become inefficient. For example, the bags are breaking, we're cracking the eggs, we're dropping the soda that we tried to put underneath our arm, and so now a couple of them are punctured and spilling all over the place. And not that that's happened to me every time, but this is often what it looks like when we're trying to hack it with ADHD. We kind of go through life a little bit haphazardly, and this is not, so let me make this very clear, this is not because we don't care about our life. This is not because we are immature. This is not because we don't have great care and ambition toward our dreams. It is just the way that our brain sends us signals and tells us that we have to show up in order to get stuff done. I know it doesn't make sense for neurotypicals, but for us, it is a constant juggling act, and we tend to, in an attempt to not complicate things, we overcomplicate things. Oh my gosh. I laugh because the amount of times I have gotten myself into this scenario is innumerable. A lot of the time, this is because we have found success both in planning ahead or being intentional, I guess is an even better way of putting it, being intentional about our actions and mindful and thoughtful. We found success there. Probably equally as often as we have found success in not planning ahead and not being super intentional and just kind of going off the cuff, because we are master hackers. Congratulations. If you have ADHD, you are a master hacker too. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the family. Happy to have you here. If you went through high school like I did, I think I talked about this last time, I was like, you know, graduated top 10% or something. It's not like I was valedictorian, though there are many that do have ADHD. I still, among my peers, I felt like I was a little bit slower. I wasn't, they all memorized faster than I did. They all got much better grades on their tests, though some ADHDers do incredibly well with testing. you know, there's just a big spectrum of ADHD, but just a little bit slower, a little bit not quite as bright or quick as my counterparts, my classmates in high school and college. College, it was much more evident that I was not as book smart as those around me. College was a whole different ballgame. Holy cow. But what we did is we still graduated, and somehow I still graduated with almost a 4.0, and somehow I still graduated very, very competent in my major in college, and went on to, you know, become a teacher and win the awards in the couple years that I taught. And why is this? Like, if I really did struggle with my ADHD, if I struggled with all of these things that we're talking about, then why is it that we still make it through? And it kind of comes down to, we are natural hackers. If you've ever heard of the term jerry-rigging something, I better go check and see if that's actually PC. Hold on one sec. Okay. This is a lesson for us. Okay. So jerry-rigged is actually a term. Dictionary.com says it's sometimes thought that the jerry and jerry-rigged or jerry-rigged comes from jerry, as used as a British slur against Germans during World War I and II. So maybe another way it says, what's another word for jerry-rigged? And it says rough and tumble. So we're going to go with that. Or a clumsy way. I know that I've heard other ones, rough and ready, makeshift. Ah, that's the one that I know. Okay, makeshift. Makeshift. I wonder what the definition of that is. Okay, well, we're going to go with makeshift or rough and tumble for now. Happy birthday. There's a nice little lesson for you. Okay, so this is kind of funny. It says crudely constructed, typically in a hasty or improvised manner. So when we have an ADHD brain that we don't know when it's going to show up for us, it's really hard sometimes for us to feel like planning ahead is going to actually help us. Number one, because it feels inefficient. If we have the energy and the capacity to write a list, our brain says the list or the plan or the procedure or, you know, the time that we would put into making this a little bit more easy is actually keeping us from getting the thing done. And because we don't know when we're going to have the capacity to get the thing done, our brain says, forget the list, forget the planning. We don't know when the next time is that we're going to have energy and motivation. So we got to just jump in and we're not going to waste any time. And so a lot of the time we do exactly what this definition says. We crudely construct a project. We do it hastily and we kind of improvise on, you know, all the way along. This is perfect for like all of my DIY projects. It was that before I had my baby, my husband would go out of town and I would turn our house into a workshop. So I would find different corners of the house that I wanted to DIY, wanted to improve aesthetically, whatnot. And I'd watch like YouTube videos, probably like 70% of the way through on 2x speed. And I'd see what I'd have around my house. And then I just start nailing and I just start like cutting and getting the power tools out and starting to construct it and pretty much making it good enough and putting it up and say, look it, I did a thing. And so this is all over my house. I've started to get better since I had my ADHD diagnosis. Better is a judgmental term. I've started to plan a little bit more since I've had my ADHD diagnosis, because I can notice that a lot of the things that I was doing was haphazard, was pretty makeshift. And that's, you know, while I'm totally glad that I did them, had I taken a little bit more planning, the products would be a little bit more sound, if you will, a little bit better, there's the word better again, a little bit more sound, a little bit more refined, a little bit more finished. And so that's a choice I get to make now. So, there's actually this book called ADHD 2.0. It's by Dr. Edward Hallowell and John Rady. And I really like one of the sections they talk about paradoxical tendencies. And I'm going to share a little bit of what they wrote, because what's interesting is it's not that we can't write a plan, right? In fact, if our whole job was to write a plan for, like, let's say we were a project manager, we had a team underneath us, and we had a plan that had to be done by Saturday at 3. It's not that we can't get that done, but we might be the people that would wait till Saturday at noon to start it, and then, bust out 3 weeks of work in 3 hours instead of, pacing ourselves over the last 3 weeks. So procrastination is one of those things. But the point being is the reason why we can do things haphazardly and creatively and kind of unrefined and rough is because we have intense creativity. We have amazing imagination. We have the ability to see outside of the box and in a variety of different perspectives and points of view. And when our dopamine and when our brain is showing up for us, we tap into that and it feels like magic. If you've heard of the word hyperfocus, this is one of the most common times that people hyperfocus is when they're under time constraint. And so why we are hacking it with ADHD is because maybe we have not yet developed the skills to recognize when we are procrastinating or when we are putting off organization or when we are stopping to pause and break down a bigger task into smaller tasks or when we are really struggling with over complex thoughts and like I like to say drama in our thoughts that are playing out 1,000 different worst case scenarios keeping us from actually getting into action. And all of these are very, very common things that happen with ADHD. And until we start to learn how to pause and we start to learn how to recognize these tasks, we live a life of hacking it. And not all hackers are bad. Not all hacking situations are bad. I hack all throughout my life because I have 4 children and I'm running a couple businesses and I'm involved in my community. There's sometimes that my brain, I know, won't show up for me. And so because I don't have quite a system, a formal system played out, I have a hack. So for example, if someone sends me a text and I accidentally open the text, but I don't have time to respond to it, I know it's going to get lost in all of my other texts. So one thing I might do is say, hey, can I respond to this later? And I'll send that text to them. And then oftentimes they'll thumbs up it, which keeps it refreshed and open, right? Like unread text. Another thing I'll do is I'll take a screenshot of the text and I'll send it to myself so that it, when I see that unopened text, then I know, oh, I can go in there and it will remind me, oh, I need to go respond to that individual. So these are just things that over time we have created because our short-term memory doesn't show up for us. Our brain doesn't show up for us the same way that others do. And to you, that might seem exhausting, but to us, that's how we just exist. it's a gift and it's a privilege that many people have that their brains show up for them, that their memory shows up for them. That's a gift. And that's something that not all of us have been given. So we are master hackers. Okay. So back to this book, Paradoxical Tendencies is what they call it. It's on page, I don't know, what page is this? 7. It's at the very beginning of the book, if you're reading it. And I'm just going to go straight to what these paradoxes are. So number one, so a paradox, contradictory or a paradoxical tendency with ADHD. Number one, a lack of focus combined with the ability to super focus or hyper focus. So I see this a lot with my daughter, right? I ask her to go put her shoes and socks on in the morning before school. And then I will find her building the most incredible and complex Lego house in the middle of her bedroom. So she has found a hyperfocus with her Legos and is building the most creative thing I have ever seen. In the 3 minutes that she's been in there, where she can't focus on getting her shoes and socks on because it's not interest based. It's not fun. It doesn't use her brain. She's bored by the idea. Why would I want to do something that's boring, right? Let's use this brain. Constantly seeking dopamine, constantly seeking intrigue. So, first one, there we go. Okay, the second one, highly directed entrepreneurialism contrast with a lack of direction. So these are my people. These are my clients. These are entrepreneurs that have an incredible mind and have this big idea and have taken steps over here and over there. And, you know, Z comes before B, and, you know, they've just kind of like been dabbling and bouncing back and forth between all of their ideas that all kind of play into this rather big umbrella of their journey, but don't really have rhyme or reason or direction. So pretty interesting. Okay. Next one is a tendency to procrastinate combined with a knack for getting a week's worth of work done in 2 hours, which we were talking about before. Procrastination nation, some people will tell us. And, you know, we've already talked about this, so we can move on. But there's just something about that time constraint and the forced constraint of our brain that produces the right kind of neurotransmitters in our body and allows us to just get so much done, like superhuman almost amount of work done by a deadline. This might look like if you had roommates in college that, you know, put things off until the last minute, they pulled all-nighters and then they just came out with like the most incredible products that you'd ever seen. Maybe they had ADHD. All right. The next one is impulsive, wrong-headed decision-making combined with inattentive, out-of-the-blue problem-solving. maybe I can laugh because I'm you all, right? So maybe you have had a friend that seems like the most absent-minded human, meaning they have worn the wrong shoes on their feet, or, you know, like for me, example, like I flew all the way to San Diego for my friend's wedding, and then I didn't have what's called a temple recommend. I didn't have that up to date, so I couldn't even go in for their wedding. So I flew, I booked the ticket, I packed my suitcase, I did all this stuff, and then I flew down to a whole different state. And then the one little thing that would actually get me into the wedding is what I forgot. So we have that capacity to just be a little bit like absent-minded, or it appears we aren't absent-minded. It makes sense that we make mistakes like this because it requires a lot of executive function, a lot of help from our frontal lobe that doesn't show up, but that's what it appears, that we're absent-minded. But at the same time, we're geniuses, right? We're out of the blue problem solvers. These are the people that we want on our team when we are trying to be reflective about how work is going, about how a project is going. These are the people that you want that are going to bring that level of creativity and that perspective that many people could never tap into. These are the people that you're constantly saying, how did you even come up with that? That's genius, right? And I won't give you an example from my life because I can't think of one right this very moment, but I guess I will, right? So COVID happened. And I was telling my ADHD story online, and I had all these people asking me questions, and I recognized that I wasn't the person to answer them at the time. And so I just started connecting people to specialists and coaches and psychologists and books and podcasts. I just started doing that. And then I was like, wait a second, this is an actual service. Like, these people really are deficient in their executive functions and how to get stuff done. And I've already done the work and a lot of the work, and I know who to go to if I have questions. So I can help them with their executive dysfunction, and I can help me by like solidifying what I know in my research and my hyper focus about ADHD. And then we can turn it into a business, which I had no intention of doing, turn it into a business. And now my kids can go to gymnastics and be in soccer, right? Right from the you know, my home office. And it can be during hours that my husband is home and we don't have to hire a babysitter all the time and ta-da, right? So out of the blue, problem solving, like I can make this into something. Why not? Let's give it a go. Let's try, right? Versus people that lock their keys in their car often or keep their lights on their car that was like 1998 Toyota Tercel or something. And the number of times my mother-in-law had to come help jump my car in college because I forgot to turn off the lights and there was no dinger, no like signal in my car telling me I did that. So that's a thing. Okay. And then the very last one is interpersonal cluelessness combined with an uncanny intuition and empathy. Oh, you like how I giggle after every one of these? Interpersonal cluelessness, which means self-awareness, okay, combined with uncanny intuition and empathy. So we don't have very good self-awareness, yet we are very good at reading people. And some might say that this is like nurture versus nature, that many people have had to start to get really good at reading people because as a kid, they were highly ADHD and may have had parents or caregivers or teachers who did not know how to teach or parent or care for a child with ADHD. And so they were very triggered by the child's ADHD behaviors. And in so doing, this child had to learn how to read their caregiver in order to make sure they got things their way, or they knew what to ask or what not to ask at certain times, or, you know, they just really had to get really good so that they weren't getting in trouble all the time. So some people might say that that is, you know, a nurture piece of the nature versus nurture. Others, I think it might be combined, you know, it might be just like a combined of life experience and not wanting to be the outsider, in addition to just like this innate ability. And I would say that there is an innate ability just based upon, you know, even some of the other evidence that Dr. Hellowell and Rady give, that we can see things from multiple perspectives, that we are out of the box thinkers. So when we see someone who's saying one thing, but their body language is saying a different thing in addition to all the other clues that they gave, we pick up on that and we put the story together. We are incredible problem solvers and people are constantly giving us clues. One of the longest running jokes in my home with my husband is I am nearly impossible to surprise. He did surprise me, however, recently, and it was so fun. And the reason why I am really difficult to surprise is because I'm constantly taking notes. Constantly. So for example, he had put something up on the calendar, our family calendar, that said Camden birthday celebration. Instead of just putting date with Camden for her birthday, he put Camden birthday celebration. And so I knew that there had to be something a little bit up. He wouldn't have put that, but I didn't want to know. So I tried to not think about it. And so I thought that he was going to, we have a little downtown of a smaller town next to us. I thought he was going to like get my friends together and we were going to go out to dinner and maybe do something after that. And what I didn't know, because he was so good at hiding it, he said it's one of the very hardest things he's ever had to do, is that my mom and dad flew into town and all my siblings that live here in Utah, we all went to a comedy show with my parents for my birthday and it was so fun. But to that point, like that is one of the absolute few times my husband has ever been able to surprise me in 15 years of marriage. And that was a real big surprise. So I get it. But in our minds, people are constantly leaving us clues to try and put together a puzzle. But at the same time, we are often very not self-aware. So some ways that we might be not self-aware are, where do I start? Sometimes we speak constantly and we interrupt and we don't recognize we're interrupting. We think that we are just participating in the conversation. Sometimes there's been a shift like in the energy of the conversation and we're really confused as to why that has happened. And sometimes it's because of a statement that we made that from our perspective or our brain was totally innocent or, you know, didn't have any ill intent, but has actually set off a lot of people in the conversation. Another way that might look is in friendships or in relationships. We are unaware because of time blindness. We're unaware when the last time was that we called our mom or when we checked in with one of our best friends, or even told our spouse that we loved them. Completely unaware a lot of the time of those things. And it makes sense that we're unaware of them because of our ADHD brain not showing up for us. And it's not a part of our out of box programming. Remembering things, remembering how often we've done things, remembering the last time we did something. Like, I know that I called my mom this past week. I don't remember the exact day, but because it's become kind of more of a habit or something that is part of me. I don't know if that's the best example, but it's been over time of me fulfilling in this habit that I remember to call her. For many other people, if they don't have a habit of checking in with, let's say, an employer or checking in with a friend who's just moved out of state, like if we don't have that habit instilled in us, it's not a part of our out-of-box programming to connect and be around them. So inawareness, how do you say that? Not being aware of self is something that is very, very common. And when I learned about my own ADHD diagnosis, this is actually a part of my pendulum that swung from one extreme to the other. Now, and ironically, I like glance at the clock right now, but now I'm almost overly aware of how much I talk. And if I don't say it in like the most efficient way, I feel panic in my body that I am taking up people's time and I'm stealing their time. And so I'm working on that because we don't want to swing that pendulum that far. But because my internal radar, I know I can't trust very well. I have been trying to work on that and it's kind of pushed me the opposite direction of saying a lot less. Or if I do like spew, then I have like a lot of this self-guilt that I'm working through. And so hopefully that can be a lesson to you as well, that even coaches like myself, we still are looking for ways to have more self-acceptance with our ADHD. Overall, I literally can giggle about these things. If you don't have ADHD, I wouldn't recommend giggling about these things with your partner or with your loved one. I would rather encourage you to have a conversation with them. And then if they start to be lighthearted about it, then you can, you know, ease up a little bit. But it's actually very personal. It's easy for us to laugh about it and have compassion on ourselves about these things. But from my experience, when others point these contradictions out in ourselves, it really hurts. And it's a really difficult thing for us to navigate. It's very personal because guaranteed we're not doing it on purpose. And we recognize that can be an inconvenience to some people, and or at least they can take it that way. I personally can recognize that. What is beautiful, however, is that as we start to embrace who we are fully and accept who we are fully, the right people will be around us to support us and to love on us and see the efforts that we're making. And then the communication will be more positive and results driven than it will be like picking us apart and making us feel like we are less than. Because we are not less than. We are amazing, amazing humans. And hopefully that's like the biggest takeaway that you have from this podcast. So hacking it with ADHD is a real thing. If you are a master hacker, I'd love to hear all about it. make sure you DM me at the Busy Brain Saint or at Camden_ADHD. I want to hear all about your master hacking. I think that it's really fun. And I think that it's a great way that we can embrace our ADHD-ness and also find the areas of our life where we're like, I'm done hacking this. And shift those so that we feel more prepared, so that we feel more efficient, so that we feel like we get to show up as our very best self instead of kind of like a scattered mess. So you're not a scattered mess. You're awesome. If your mind has been blown again, this session, this podcast here, don't faint. Go tell a friend about this podcast. I'm so excited that you're here and I am always cheering you on. Thanks for listening to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. So glad that you're here. If you are interested in more information about ADHD coaching, head over to Instagram and follow me at Camden_ADHD. My company is called ADHD Directory. Or if you're also interested in following along with more Latter-day Saint ADHD material, you can follow me at The Busy Brain Saint on Instagram. Thanks so much for being here, and I hope I get to meet you soon. Take care.